So, hey, after the service, we have a lot of fun outside, and there's also food, so make sure you get hooked up. I had to go to Mike's Barbecue and sample it before when I paid the bill. So I went this week and suffered for Jesus, and it was really good. So we got some Mike's Barbecue pulled pork. That's going to be awesome. Come on, somebody. But have some food and some fun and hang out, and it's going to be a lot of fun out there. And at the end of the service, we're going to do a missions offering, and I said we'd do this for 2 weeks. So I usually do something up to Christmas because it's Jesus' birthday. You know what I mean? So we can talk about Christmas, but if we don't do something for the King, it's like, what are we doing? You know, Christmas isn't about just presents. And we have kids. We give presents to our kids, yes, but I'm going to honor the King. So this week and next week, so if you didn't come prepared to give, you can still give next week. But at the end of the service, we're going to receive an offering towards putting a roof on a church in Uganda. And this is a good pastor. So I'll talk about that as we close the service. And I'm going to let the parents with kids go out 5 minutes early to go get your kids and do whatever. And then you can run around with your kids or whatever. They're in your charge after that. So I want to pray. Father, thank you for the word today. And I pray, God, for everyone here, my heart's prayer is that you're going to leave with a greater depth of a substance called faith to fulfill your life's mission and ministry. Everyone has a mission. Everyone has a ministry. You have a mission and ministry. That mission may have little mouths that are still saying, mommy, daddy. That ministry may be in your home, your work, the school, your neighborhood, wherever it is. But we all have a mission and a ministry, and we need to have that mindset and understand it. So I pray that there'd be a greater measure of faith to walk it out. And I pray for faith for the dreams for everyone who's here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I need a better amen than that. You know, we looked at five, for the last 3 weeks, I've been teaching through Hebrews 11, and we looked at five people who had a distinct fingerprint of faith. Today, I want to look at some historic battles won by faith, and we're going to come out of Hebrews 11:30, and we'll go 30 through 34, main emphasis on 34. So Hebrews 11:30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say then? For the time would fail me to preach this sermon if I tell... That's what I was thinking. It's like, I can't preach all these. I can't do a sermon this long as I was preparing. I'm like, yeah, time would fail me. There's no way I can cover all this, but I'm going to pick a few out. Time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Come on, someone. Worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. Come on, I think that might be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Yeah. Crazy. And you know, I mean, all these crazy feats that happen here were incredible. So as we look through these five verses, I want to look at some of the great battles won by each individual's faith and some of their individual battles as they beat through their own individual battle, as they became victorious in their individual battle, it inspired entire battles and changed the shape of great battles. And some of their victories has inspired not just a person or just a battle on a battlefield, but it's inspired generations to come. Have you been inspired by some of these people? I still today, I'm reading things. You know, you say, well, I've read the Bible through. I've read through the Bible dozens and dozens of times. But every time I keep reading and I find something new. I find something new. I found something new at the end of this in Hebrews 12 that I've never seen before. I've read it, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of times. Why? Because there's more. There's more. God releases more. There's a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And more gets revealed even as the day, and that's pertinent for the day and the hour we live in. You know, faith is a timeless substance. It's timeless. You know, it has an author and a finisher, which is Jesus Christ, but it goes into eternity. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and I like how the New Living Translation says this. It says it like this. Three things will last forever. What are those three things? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So why don't we just always preach on love? Love is awesome. Love holds these things together. Love keeps and holds faith together. Love holds hope in balance. Love is awesome. I was trying to put this on and I had the sword, but I didn't have the belt. And without the belt, I couldn't hold up the sword. And love kind of holds up. We need faith and we need it, but you know, you need the belt of truth and we need love. Love holds it together. But I just want to tell you, it wasn't by love the world was framed. It was by faith. So it was by faith that God spoke and it was. And today we still have our future is being framed by faith. I love it when it says we're ambassadors of the word of God, because an ambassador does what? An ambassador represents a kingdom. So whether you're an ambassador to Australia or an ambassador to America or ambassador to whatever nation, you represent that nation or that kingdom. And we are ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors for a kingdom. And as ambassadors for that kingdom is a kingdom, and we get to speak in faith because the ambassador isn't at its liberty to speak its opinion when it goes into a situation. How many know we need a little more ambassadors being loosed right now than people with a political opinion, an economical opinion? Hello, somebody. Are we speaking for the kingdom? Let's speak for the kingdom. My opinion doesn't mean anything, but as an ambassador, the word of God means something. If as I speak as an ambassador, it holds weight because I come with the word of God and with the word of the kingdom and what will establish the kingdom. The kingdom's eternal. All of our structures have time limits. Yet it takes a substance of faith as we declare the word of God, not just faithless repetition, not just faithless pleas that come from the soulish realm. And sometimes those are, come on, you tell me when your child is like, mommy, daddy, and they got the quiver in their voice, oh, I need this. And you fall to it. Grandmas, come on, grandmas and grandpas. You're all over it. You're like, yeah, and you jump to that soulish plea. But you know, there's something more powerful we get to approach heaven with. And sometimes out of compassion, like a mommy or a daddy, God is more than any of us. He may answer that, but that's not what the worlds are framed by. The worlds are framed and shaped by our faith. And we need to speak faith. It's by faith that our word and the word of God, it shapes our future. And we get to be the ambassadors that get to still, to this day, our future. How many know there's a world that needs to be shaped? It needs to be formed. And it needs faith to go out. It's not love that caused armies to march into battle. It's faith. Come on. I don't have anything against love. Like I said, it holds it together. But we need faith. The substance of faith, it's faith that brings and takes a dream and turns it into destiny. It's faith that takes the unseen and brings it into the seen. We have to, it's a substance of faith. And God, he's still in the business of bringing and making our dreams come true. Come on, someone. He's still in the business. Now see, what happens is that you go, well, it didn't happen, it didn't happen, it didn't happen. They marched around the walls once, didn't happen. Twice, didn't happen. Three times, didn't happen. But it did happen. Come on. Sometimes we it's the timing. Don't let that hope deferred make your heart sick. Because faith will release it. And today I just pray that you get more of that substance to fulfill your dreams. Today my hope for you is that if there's anything that's in the way of your inspired dreams, I just pray that God just destroys any delays to your dreams. My prayer for the sermon is that it goes out that every mountain that's blocking the vision. How many of you know that was when Jesus said the faith of a mustard seed that you could move mountains? There was a term called mountain moving faith. And if there's something blocking, if my vision's being blocked by something, it can be removed by faith. We need to see beyond what's blocking our vision. But faith is a substance that does it. Even a little tiny bit can move and give you vision to see what's been blocked. Are you with me? I pray faith today would make a way where there seems to be no way. Because that's what faith does. So if you say, well, you know, I've heard a sermon. No, get a substance today, not a sermon. the word's released. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. As it's spoken, you receive, and by the word, the substance is formed. Once the substance is in you, it's in motion. And every day we get to renew it. Every day we get to freshen it up, so as to say. If I was a nutritional counselor and I said, and you're healthy right now and your body's nourished. And she stopped eating nourishing foods. How foolish would that be? Continue to eat nourishing foods. You have faith today, but keep receiving faith every day because you need it for your future. Are you with me? That's something we can all get a hold of. We've got 66 books. You say, I need counseling. You need the 66 counselors every morning. You need Matthew. You need Dr. Matthew, Dr. Mark, Dr. Luke, and Dr. John more than Dr. Spock and Dr. Laura. Come on, we need Acts. We need Romans. We need Revelation. We need, there's faith that's going to come out of it. Awesome. So by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Wow. Do you realize that this battle, by faith, they felt this battle hinged all of history as they went into the promised land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Those walls intimidated army after army, and by faith, they fell down. God was making a statement. And everyone there, that when those walls fell, it emboldened the children of Israel, and it put fear into every other kingdom in the land. How many know the miraculous puts a statement out? And you know, that every time miracles happen, you say, how come you guys always spend time praying for people and you're doing testimonies of miracles? Here we are again. Because just like Jericho, when people heard that God knocked the walls of Jericho down, it put fear in the enemy and faith in God's people. And it is. You know, we need that spirit of prophecy. We need to release the testimony so that spirit of prophecy will release faith in our lives. Constantly declare the prophetic word. Constantly declare the goodness of God. Constantly, even yourself, remind yourself. And goes on to say, you know, time would fail me to tell you of Gideon. Another personal victory. Gideon had his own battle, but it affected an entire army and region and that whole culture. Again, Barak and Deborah, that when they went in, oh my goodness, it affected that whole army. Samson's personal victory. And they knew, well, Samson failed. Yeah, at the end of his life, Samson's testimony took out thousands of Philistines. And so you keep going. Today I want to focus on David. David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. Number one, I want to talk about lying, stopping faith. And I'm talking about the lion, the beast, the king of the jungle. I'm talking about lion, but also lying, stopping faith. Because devil's a liar, and face what crushes the lie, and it stops the lying, not just the lion stopping faith, like the lion of the tribe of Judah. There's a lying, stopping faith that stops the lies of the devil. And by faith, it stops it. When the devil approached Jesus and tried to lie and trick him in the garden, even using the word of God and twisting it, using truth twisted, it's still a lie. And when he tried to twist truth, it still is deception. It's still, he's a liar at the heart. And that lion just stopped it. So I want to talk about lions stopping faith. David stopped a lion. And I like the terminology when they say he smote it. I like that. He smote him. I like that in Lord of the Rings. He smote my enemy on the countryside or whatever he said. I'm like, ooh, it just sounds cool. Moving right along. Sorry. And smote him. I always wondered what, I want to see that video. Can I get that red box when I get to heaven? I'm the first one who's going to get that one. I want to see that knockout punch just boom. Lion down, David standing. Bear down, David standing. Goliath down, David standing. Sorry, I just, whatever. He'll give it to me too, you watch. Anyway, I'll get it firsthand. I'll be talking to him. I'll be the first in line going, David, tell me about it. And 1 Samuel 17:34, David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when the lion or bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it. Just read the scriptures. I went out after it. Hello, somebody. Bear, I went out after it. I worked building SeaWorld. I was this close to a bear. All I had was a chain link thing. This 1-inch chain bar between me and I was less than 2 feet away from a polar bear. This was way back when I still used to work decades ago in construction. And I'm this close. Even though there's a steel cage here, I was very much aware of the power of that bear. David went out after it and took the thing from its mouth. Can you imagine bear has little lammy? And lammy's in mouth of bear. Bear's about to chew it. And David comes out and takes it out of the bear's mouth. Bear's like teenager. Bear, lamb. What are you doing trying to take my pork chop? I mean, my lamb chop. Are you, excuse me, a bear? Can you imagine what the bear was thinking? It's crazy. I went out after it. And we just read by it. And David went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by the beard and struck it and killed it. Okay, we got to look at a shepherd because I used to be a fighter, so I'm thinking, how did this happen? I'm trying to analyze the fight scene, okay? So, like, you guys like that when they'd like, go back and then, you know, I like that on, like, you know, like Sherlock Holmes and they'd be like, whoa, 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 and they do it in slow motion. Okay, moving right along. Anyway, sorry I lost half of you. The shepherd had four pieces of armor, if you could call it armor. So the four pieces of the shepherd's armor is, one, they had a staff. That's easy, right? Shepherd's staff, 6 foot tall, approximately 6 foot tall, sometimes hook at the top. They'd come take a lamb out that's in a ditch and help it up. They'd knock the weeds out of the way. They'd, if a goat was coming, they could use it. Grab the staff, put it in your hand, swing the staff, 6 foot plus three to whatever long length you are. You've got about a 10-foot radius swinging that thing fast. Someone's going to get clunked with that. That's a pretty big radius. You don't want to mess with a shepherd and staff, right? Right? Yeah. Another piece of armor. It's a club. They had a club on their belt or their, it had a rope. It was either attached to their side or on their hand. And it was 2 to 3 foot long and it had about the size of an orange at the end and was usually made out of oak. So it's an oak equalizer. It's like an oak baseball bat with a big old round like orange on the end. Solid oak. Come on, somebody. Do you swing that thing? What do you got? Distance of your arm and 2 to 3 foot of oak coming hard at something. Right? And then we all know David had a sling, right? This third piece sling. Fourth one was a bag. And in the bag, he usually had his food because we all know we need some carne asada to stay strong, to throw the club and the wing. Right? Come on, somebody. Or maybe we just need some pulled pork from Mike's wrapped up with some coleslaw in there. Put a little baked beans with it. Oh, man. I lost all the guys. They're gone. They're outside. They're not going to listen to anything I say from here. But the bag, he put his rocks in the bag, right? So the four parts of the armor are what? One, the staff. Two, the club. Three, this sling. And then this bag that he had around his neck. How many of David didn't just have four. David had five pieces of armor. Because it wasn't the rock in the bag. It was the faith in his heart. So David not only had the staff and he had the club and he had the bag and he had the sling, he had faith. Because he's made Hebrews 11, that means he had faith. By faith, he did it. So David had a fifth weapon that we need to click into because you have that fifth weapon as well. Huh? Think of another guy who took out lions, Daniel. Daniel had an angelic intervention. Daniel just kind of shut the mouth of the lion just because he stood there like through prayer. So like some people are wired different. Like maybe I would have been like, give me Samson strength. Give me the oak equalizer. Give me strength as I whop this thing. You know what I mean? But Daniel just prayed and the angel came and shut the mouth. Daniel didn't have to do anything. So if you say, I don't want Samson's strength and I don't want to do any of that, it's like there's another weapon of faith that just shut the mouth of the lion. Are you with me? And his faith shut the mouth of the lion. And it says it in Daniel 6 that Daniel had been delivered because he said when the king asked him about it and said, oh, Daniel, has your God been able to deliver you? And he replies, oh, king, and he talks back with him. He said in verse 22, he says, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. Can I just tell you right now that your prayers will shut the lion's mouth? How many of you know you got some lions and you got some lying people lying about you and your prayers will shut their mouths? Your complaints do not shut the mouths of those who are talking smack about you and pulling you down. And by you entering into gossip, you are empowering the devil, not disarming him. But prayer shut the lion's mouth. There's another place, I forget, in the New Testament, only two times spoken. One time the word's used here, another time it's used in another area, and it speaks of shutting, like it's getting its mouth forcefully closed. And that's another part where it's telling us that we need to shut that. So we have the power through our prayers to shut the mouths of lions. Just saying. Daniel shut the mouth. Okay, next one. Oh, I love this guy, Benaniah. Benaniah, 2 Samuel 23:20. Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who went down, look at this, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. These warriors were so bad to the bone, they were like lions, and he killed them. But check this one out. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. Who goes in a pit with a lion? Who goes down in a pit with a lion on a snowy day? On a good day, I'm not going down in a pit with a lion, let alone on a snowy day. Come on, we go to Africa every year. I have a call to Africa. I go to Africa. I lead teams in Africa. We get to go see these white lions. You look at a 500-pound lion on the other side of a chain-link fence. They could totally knock the chain-link fence down, by the way, and they've done it. 500 pounds of lion is a lot of force. And you stand, you know, like when you're next to a lion and you're like this, Danielle's not in this service, is she? She was in the last service. You're like this close, and Danielle's like wanting to put her fingers through the chain link fence and touch the lion. I said, bad idea, Danielle. Bad idea. She says, I just want to put my fingers through because it's going along the fence and you could just push your fingers through and pet the lion. I'm like, bad idea, Danielle. Thing gets a hold of you, it'll squeeze your body right through that chain link fence. I'm like, no. Hello, somebody. Benaniah went down in a pit on a snowy day and went after a lion. Hello. That reminds me of my lion. And I think it's your lion. Our lion is a lion of the tribe of Judah. He went down into a pit on a very... It wasn't snowing down there in hell. Went down into Abraham's bosom, did 100% altar call. Everybody comes out of Abraham's bosom. Come on, somebody. He did an altar call in Abraham's bosom and everybody gets saved. Went down and took the keys of hell and death away from the devil. Broke the power of sin. And he shut the mouth of a lying lion, the fake lion. I don't think he played around. Matter of fact, when we talk about mouth-shutting lions, when he went down there into hell, I don't think he's fooling around. I mean, I think like it talks about the devil being like a roaring lion. The reason why he's like is because he's got dentures, baby. Because I think Jesus went down there and put the smack down on the lion, and he's toothless. So when he bites onto you, just take a step back in faith and look and just come back, and you have these little dentures on you, man. You got to get that thing off of you. Come on, somebody. What's Peter say? Like a roaring lion. Jesus is not like. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The devil's a lying lion. And that's his tool. It's not his bite. It's his lies. And you get to shut the mouths of them. Benaniah went down in. Oh, my goodness. Benaniah chased the lion down. He lifted the bar for the next generation. And Benaniah chased the lion down, and we get to do the same thing. We get to chase it down. You get to chase your vision. You get to chase, you get to do great exploits. We get to do stuff today that generations never got to do. You say, well, I just wish I was there with Hadassah. I wish I was there at such a time as this. I wish I was there in the day of David. I wish I was there in the day of the disciples. You are in the best day. This is legendary. The day we're on the earth and what God's doing today. You get to bring your own, you get to write a whole nother chapter in that second book of Acts. And you all have a chapter to write in that book. You get to walk that out. You get to chase your vision down. You just don't let that thing lurk around like that lion lurking around and you see something out of the corner of your eye. We get to lift that bar. I love Mark Batterson. He's one of my favorite authors. He has a book right now, Chase the Lion, and it's awesome. I can't wait to read the rest of it. He's one of my favorite authors. This is what one of the things he said. He said, you have to go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. If you can fulfill your dream without God intervening, then the dream is too small. And he said, go big or go home. You have to take the road less traveled or settle for the status quo. You have to either bite the bullet and go after your dream or just turn around and turn your back on your dream. Can you imagine a full-grown lion? Do you know a full-grown lion can run like 30 to 50 mile an hour? Some say 50, some say 30, 35. 30 mile an hour. We were there. One of those lions leaped at Taylor, and it was like sitting like this far away, and it leaped, and we were just standing there, and Taylor's like looking at it, trying to take a picture, and the thing leaped at the cage but didn't hit the chain link. He leaped and then just stopped, kind of like when you go like this, and then you just go like that to your hair. Guys, you remember how we always did that? He didn't do that? Okay, we did that. Anyway, we're like, oh, yeah. Anyway, it's a psych. Anyway, the lion like did a psych. He leaps like he's leaping at Taylor, just boom, closes this gap, and then just turns from the fence like, you're my light work. He looks this way, and Taylor like jumps back like, oh, did you see that? I'm like, I saw that, Taylor. It was so funny. Anyway, Taylor was only afraid for a minute before he said, I will smite you. Faith rose up, and I told him, don't kill the lion, Taylor. I held him back. Just saying, if you see Taylor, tell him, thanks, Taylor, for not killing a white lion. Man, I can't believe it. You know, they can leap like 30 feet. And Ben and I went down and faced him. Can I tell you right now? You got to face it. You got to go down after it. You got to go in after your fears. You got to go after your vision, go after your dream with lion-like pace. Lion, so thus a lion stopping faith grabs lies by the beard and closes their mouth. Lion stopping faith relies on angelic intervention like Daniel. Lion stopping faith, it chases down every threat like Benaniah. It doesn't settle for these lurking shadows. It goes after it, which leads us to number two, and that is giant stopping faith. And giant stopping faith, number two, this is fear stopping faith. And the giant, like David and Goliath, when it talks about what more shall I say if I talk about these, with David and Goliath, Goliath is the same as your fears. Goliath, the giant, symbolizes whatever fears are keeping you from what's yours. And I want to read these verses. 1 Samuel 17:47 says this, then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Because Goliath had a sword, and Goliath had a spear. David had a shepherd's rod, and a club, and a little bag, and some rocks in his bag, and a sling. Are you with me? But how many remember, he had a fifth piece of armor. And David didn't say, God doesn't have victory because my club is more powerful than your spear. It's not rock, paper, scissors here. He had faith. Are you with me? He had faith. He had a fifth piece of armor. He had a substance that you have called faith. And that's what he said. He was saying, I'm coming at you with something different. I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord. Verse 48, and it was when the Philistine arose that he came and he drew near to meet David. And David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag. He took out a stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into the forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. But I want you to catch something that David made some declarations. Now, as a fighter, I always like to relook at the scene. So I started to tell you about their armor and what they would have been effective at what range. So if you would have taken David's staff, you know, like if you're grabbing a bear, if you're grabbing a lion by the beard, staff's not going to do you much good. It's too close. You with me? The club was a good choice. The sling's worthless when the lion's arm's distance. The sling's worthless. He's too close. Right? The club was pretty sufficient to smote him with an oak equalizer, holding him with one hand with this hand and smacking him on the head with an oak club. I like that. That I can swallow. That, like, with the gift of faith, he used two pieces of armor, faith and an oak club, and boom shakalaka, dead lion, dead bear. Are you with me? But there's differing degrees, and as I told you, there's different distances that a weapon of choice would work. So, like, I used to train and fight martial arts, but the wrestler has a different zone. His is close. He wants to attack you, get you down, put you in all these moves. Jiu-jitsu, they get you close. Their benefit is up close. Chinese martial arts, their benefit is, their advantage is close. But certain ones, it's a little farther. Certain ones, it's a little farther. So with the sling, the advantage would be if you were away from the distance. The club is a 6 foot or 10 foot radius, and the club is about a shorter radius. The staff was a little bigger. The sling was a little farther. So the farther distance today, the point that I'm trying to make is the sling would be more like a modern day sniper. We reach out and touch them at distances of like a mile. Now, I'm not being thrilled about people getting murdered, but when I heard about the sniper who shot the tank off the ISIS guy who's ready to burn a bunch of Christians, and as he's sitting there ready to burn him, a sniper shoots the tank and blows up three ISIS guys. Like I said, I'm not happy someone got murdered, but I'm really happy those like 20 people didn't get fried with the guy's gas tank as he was going to burn them all to death. But U.S. and British snipers, one of them took out the tank, which blew up the ISIS guys, and then they rescued the other guys. How come we don't hear stuff like this? But that's a long-distance weapon, and David's sling was a little bit different. It was kind of like a long-distance weapon in that day. And ours as a Christian, and to get out of fighting but take it into a Christian application, ours is through decrees. We can make decrees just like David's sling and hit our enemies before they're up in our face, before we're holding them away with our head, before you're going, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is in my face. You can make decrees, and if you ignore decrees, you might as well take away that long-distance weapon. Use it. David made 5 declarations. This is what he said. Number one, he said, this day God will deliver you into my hand. Next one, he said, I will smite you. The next one is he said, I will take your head off. The next one he said is, I will give the bodies of the Philistines to the birds and the beasts this day. And then he said, this entire assembly shall know that God does not save by carnal means. In other words, he was saying, everyone's going to know that it wasn't by modern day weapons, but that it was by God, my fifth weapon, faith. That's how he got his name in Hebrews 11. They're going to say, everyone's going to know it's by faith. Are you with me? David made 5 decrees. He made 6, but the 6 was like the first. He's like a preacher. He did the opening and he went back to the opening and the close. Anyway, so he did these 5 decrees. Can I tell you this? David made these 5 prophecies. These were the first of David's prophecies. First 5 prophecies David made, and they were fulfilled very shortly after he made them. He said, I'm going to do this. Then he did it. They came to pass. And you know what? And just a side note, I think David was pretty radical. Do you realize just in 5 books, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, Chronicles, and Psalms, just in 5 books, David made, there's 327 verses of prophecy in 5 books. That's 188 more than Daniel. And we look at Daniel as a prophet. David was a prophet. David was a prophet. That's more than any of the minor prophets. 327 prophetic verses. David was prophetic. And David was not only prophetic, David had something more than the prophetic. Jesus was prophet, priest, and king. He held 3 different offices, like we have different branches in our government purposely set up. Well, Christ came as a prophet, priest, and king. And David ruled as a king. He was also prophetic, and he ministered as a priest unto his God. David was a prophetic type and shadow of Christ and pointed towards Christ on the cross. Are you with me? Okay, side note, let's get back to the scene of the fight. So, I'm talking about warrior cry of faith. 1 Samuel 17:48. So it was, when the Philistine arose, he came, he drew near to meet David. Then David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. He ran towards him. Crazy. Hastened in the Hebrew is mahar, and this is what it means. Look at this. It means to be liquid or flow easy, to hurry, to act promptly, to go swiftly like a charging lion. He's facing Goliath, and he charged him like a lion. Like I just told you, lions, they can charge fast. People think, well, I got, you know, my weapon, I'll shoot that lion. A friend of mine's a guide, his brother's a guide in Africa, and there was a wounded lion in the bush, and he's sitting there, and the hunter goes up like this. The lion's crouching in the bushes less than 10 yards away. I mean, 1 second he could kill him. The thing jumps in the air, and he has to kill it in mid-flight to save the life of the guy who made a bad shot. Hello, somebody. I don't want to chase a wounded lion. Can I just tell you this? A lion can tear you up. David ran into Goliath. Your faith is like David ran at him. Your faith will embolden you to charge your Goliaths. Charge your fear. Charge after it. Don't take anything. It's not logical. It's faith. Don't buy into the lie. Grab it by the beard and go after it. Spiritually, David was like a charging lion, and David charged, and then he went right after him. Before Goliath knew what was happening, he had a stone in his forehead, and he's sucking dirt. And then David ran at the giant like a lion leaps on his prey. That took faith. And then it says, In 1 Samuel 17:49, and David put his hand in his bag, he slung it, he struck the Philistine, la la la. Verse 50, David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, look at 51. Therefore, David ran after and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him, cut off his head, and when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So David cuts his head off, holds up Goliath's head. Philistines are running. If you can get this picture, they're all running. David ran against his enemy and because he didn't know he's dead. I love this because, like, have you ever watched movies where, like, the bad guy's been taken out, but you don't know that he's dead? And all of a sudden, it's like, dun, 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 dun. And the good guy turns their back, and the bad guy comes to life again, blah, or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, you know, like, no, don't turn your back. Be careful. It's like, David, like, put the stone in the forehead, the giant's sucking dirt. He didn't take any chances. He ran right after him, took the sword out, and cut his head off. We need to take the word of God like Jesus. When the devil tempted Jesus, Jesus used the word, the sword of the Spirit, and he came after it. We need to declare with the word. We need to come after it with the word. And even when you think you got it, use some more word. Are you with me? I think I have a victory. Keep declaring. Make some declarations. Take the sword. Can I bring out another observation? The giant was so cocky, he didn't even get his sword out of his sheath. He looked at his enemy, and he underestimated the power of his enemy. He did not recognize the fifth weapon that he had was faith. Can I tell you, the devil is too cocky, and he underestimates the faith that you're carrying. He underestimates the weapon that you have. He underestimates. He says, you don't even have a weapon in your hand. You have faith. It's the greatest of those five. And with the faith that's in you and faith in you, you can take out a Goliath. Don't let him underestimate, and don't you underestimate the power of the sword. He didn't even pull the sword out of the sheath. He's probably like, oh, I'm just going to rip this little teenager apart to shreds. It's like big old guy yoked going, I'm going to just shred him with my hands. And he underestimated him. Don't give the devil the same. Are you with me? Use the sword. Use the word of God. We're talking about battle, but if you don't apply it spiritually, it's worthless. Everything in the old is a type and a shadow of the new. There, it's symbolic. You can use the word of God. Are you with me? It's physical there. It's spiritual in the new. So this giant stopping faith did something, and we'll close with this, is that giant stopping faith released another faith, and that was contagious faith is number three. Because the minute that the head of the giant was lifted up and everyone saw that David's giant stopping faith had taken this victory, it released a contagious faith in all the army that was palsied and had no faith to fight their enemy. Suddenly they were emboldened and they all fought. The faith of one affected the whole faith of others. You're called into a society to let your faith change everything around you. Stop going into a battle and saying, everybody's down, everyone's depressed, and get into the discussions about how they're depressed and down. Shift the atmosphere. David walked onto a battlefield and he shifted the atmosphere from faith, from unbelief to faith. Take the giant out. Release faith where you go. Our mission is to come in and to affect it. And then instead it affected an entire army that routed the army of the Philistines. Chased them down. Are you with me? That's contagious faith. When our faith is released, it's contagious with other people. We need to release contagious faith. And he had contagious faith. He arose. And it's interesting, it says he arose. Faith arose. The giant arose. And when the giant, because he said he was seated, the giant arose. He's probably like, who's this guy think he is? And then he saw him. He was so disdained by him. He's like, how many know he had an armor bearer? Armor bearer didn't go out before him because there wasn't an armor bearer David had to take out first. It was just the giant. The armor bearer, he'd probably like, you stay here. He carries this giant shield before the giant. The giant's probably like, I don't even need you. You stay here. Didn't even take his sword out. He went out and went after David straightforward. Because it didn't say anything about the armor bearer. That tells me, look, we need to let faith arise and let contagious faith arise, because then it arose in all the people. Release it. Because it says faith in Hebrews 11. It says by faith, that out of weakness we're made strong. You say, you don't understand. What are you like, Gideon? I understand Gideon. Oh, you understand. I'm like, you know, they're not very big. Oh, David wasn't that big. Oh, you don't understand. I'm like, no, faith takes and makes weakness strong. Out of weakness they were made strong. Became valiant in battle. Well, I'm not so valiant. I don't think I got all this going as all these people. These guys, you know, Shane's mom's already a prophetess. I don't know why I don't have that. It's like, stop looking and comparing. You have the same faith. Same power that raised Jesus from the dead comes in us. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the access to that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. That Spirit is in you. It's the same Spirit. Faith by one Spirit. You have the same faith. You have the substance to do what it takes to change your environment. You have David's faith inside of you. Let it out. You have the Lion of the tribe of Judah in you. Let him out. You have what it takes. You just have to be bold and let it out. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Release the Word. Release the battles. Release that contagious fight. Release it and watch what happens. Now check this out. Check this out as we land this thing, as we end this. Check this out. I never even saw this before. As I was reading this, this blew me away. Last nugget is in Hebrews 12. And it says, and something was said, if you read the story, Saul in verse 58 tells David, he says, and Saul said to him, whose son are you? Come on, how many times you read David and Goliath? How many times you read 1 Samuel 17? But in verse 58, he said something. Saul called him right away. David, Goliath's down. Saul's like, we just went from afraid and mocked by a giant everyone's afraid of. This little kid just took his head off. Our army just slaughtered him. Get that boy and bring him here. Get that kid, bring him over here. And then he asked him, whose son are you? Ah. Whose son are you? Whose daughter are you? Whose son are you? Whose daughter are you? We got to get that. His son of Jesse, you're son of God. You're daughter of the living God. You're daughter of the author and finisher of faith. You're a son of the author and the finisher, and he's not finished. You are the body of Christ on this earth. You're royalty walking around right here. We are these sons and daughters. And in Hebrews, he goes on to tell us, and he tells us something, and he goes on in Hebrews and he tells us, let's run with endurance this race that's set before us. Come on, let's run. Let's like run after, like that David ran after, like Benaniah ran after. Let's run, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus. We need to look. You are a son, you are a daughter. Jesus was the first to bust it forth. You get to walk as the body of Christ. You get to walk in faith. You get to carry it out as sons and daughters of faith. And he goes on to say this, and he tells us, and he gives us a warning in verse 3. He says, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Look, lest we become weary and discouraged. We can read all about faith. If you skip chapter 12, you missed it. It all points towards this. Every time he says this, he's telling us to look. He says in verse 1 of Hebrews 12, therefore. That means look at what was written before. Whatever was written in 11, we have to go to 12 and say, therefore. You have to take 11, apply it in 12, and then he tells us, run the race with endurance. Look unto Jesus. And then in verse 3, he says, for consider him who endured hostility against sinners, lest you become weary and discouraged. And then look at verse 4, for you've not yet resisted to bloodshed for the striving against sin, which means we got to keep on fighting. We got to keep on standing. In verse 5, he says, and you have forgotten, he said, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as what? As what? As sons and daughters. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't get discouraged when you get rebuked. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son he receives. There's trials and tribulations we go through, but guess what? We get to keep moving. We get to keep walking. We get to, don't get discouraged. Don't get down. And he goes on to say in verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, and a numerous company of angels. We have Jesus. We have the Lion of the Tribe of Judah in us. We have a whole company of angels around us, innumerable, just countless angels that surround us. You are a son and a daughter. You are not outnumbered. Like the prophet told his servant, it said, take and open his eyes to see. You have all of heaven's resource backing you. I'm sorry, I kept you too late. You can get your barbecue now, but I just wanted to say that. Stand to your feet. I don't know. I'm sorry I took you a few minutes. It's 45 minutes. I took you 10 minutes longer. Oh yeah, we got to do the offering because I said it. Sorry. Can you sit back down for a second? I'm sorry. I just got excited because you know what? I'd never seen that. And I just thought that was really good. And I hope it's a walk away for you that every time you feel like, man, my faith tank's not filled. You're a son. You're a daughter. You can go and get filled every time you have it. So right now, I just pray, God, that you would just bless the offering towards Uganda, that we could put that roof on that church. In the name of Jesus. And I pray you just speak to us. We only do what you tell us, and we do it because of you and for your kingdom. So we just bless you, and I pray you just speak to us and just let generosity flow. And I pray for every one of those brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, you can come forward. We're going to give. So what I said, I don't know if you weren't here when I said it, we're putting a roof on a church. If you're not prepared today, you can do it next time. It's okay. If you're using the text to give, you can go to the text. You just text 84321. If you're already in that, you just go to that, and then you just put on it missions project, because it doesn't say roof. I said we put on, it's not on there yet. If you text to give, you just put missions roof, and it'll get to that designation. I'm really excited about it. Hennington is a really awesome person. They had so many people in the church that were sitting in the windows of the old church. It was so full. So strategically, what we did was, as we bought property, we put a well on the property. So everyone in that region comes to that well to get water. Guys are working. Every lady gets water. All the kids get water before, because they need to get water because they don't have running water. They come to the church to get water all the time. Isn't that prophetic? And that church is busting at the seams. This church is going to seat hundreds of people, everything good, concrete, foundation, brick walls, the top one. On the bottom right is the old one. That one's the top one. That's the picture of the new church. It's going to be awesome. So thank you for those of you who gave. Next week, we're going to sow into Uganda as well. Go ahead and stand to your feet. You guys are awesome. You've been patient. If you have children, go now. If you have children, go now. You're released. I bless you. Go now. If you have children outside or children inside, go ahead. Go now. And I just want to pray for the rest of you. I bless everyone who's going and your kids. Let this word fill you and fill your lives. We want you to go get your kids so they can check them out to you, so they can have fun in your care. I want to give them the first off the finish line so we don't hold them back. But I just want to pray over you. I just make some declarations over you. Make those declarations and sling that sling and let that long distance weapon you have. It's not just a sling and it's not just a rock. It's the faith in you. And Jesus is the rock. You have Jesus in you. He's Emmanuel, God in you. And the rock that you sling from your sling, the rock that you fling from your sling is a rock of Jesus Christ. And when there's faith behind it, it's powerful. Make declarations like David. Make declarations. Declare over your children. I just declare over your lives that they're blessed. I declare over your children that your children, your children's children are blessed. I declare over your businesses and all your sources of income, whether you're an employer or employee. I declare that you're blessed. I declare increase. I declare even as we just crossed into the new year in the Jewish calendar, I just declare a new year. I declare blessing and seeds to come forth because it's a new harvest. I declare the seeds that are in the ground coming forth. I declare giving that's even from past seasons to sprout forth. I declare blessing in a season of harvest. I declare even where things didn't work, I declare they're gonna work. I declare even where things have been dormant, they're gonna sprout forth. I declare even where gifts seem to be dormant, that they're gonna spark up and move forward. And I just release that substance of faith in your lives in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hey, God bless you. If you need prayer, there's a prayer team up here. Go out and have some fun. Have some pulled pork. Have some food out here in fellowship. God bless you. Amen.